You know, it's funny, and that's Harvey Haddix from the Baseball Project CD, Steve Wynn, here in the studio with us. And, you know, it's funny with that Harvey Haddix crusade, it's especially considering the way these days that pitchers, it's like a novelty even when they pitch a regular whole game.
Amazing, yeah.
You know, incredible. And so for a guy to pitch like that, you know, it's...
There are no more complete games, and, you know, incredible. Yeah. Mike Mussina threw a great game yesterday, took him out in the ninth. I mean... Johan Santana threw a great game 2 days ago and got pulled out, and you saw what happened there.
Right, so you got to take you should just take care of it yourself.
Let pitchers finish their games.
That's right. You know, Harvey did get some did get a measure of good luck in the 1960 World Series, though.
That's right.
He was the winning pitcher
in Game 7 against the Yankees.
Right, when the guy hit the home run, Mazeroski hit the home run. So,
well, another funny thing I found out is that because he had a great career. And he also was the pitching coach for the Pirates when they. Won the World Series on the We Are Family Pirates in 79.
I didn't realize he was there.
So he did a lot of great things. But there's a line in the song about, I wonder how he slept that night, you know, knowing how close he came to the blah, blah, blah. Apparently, he did not sleep well that night. He went out and walked the streets of Milwaukee till dawn, bummed out about his near-perfect game. So I got the answer on that.
Wow.
This comes right from from his wife.
You might have to have part two with the adjustment. Now that you know what happened.
Exactly.
The reprise.
Part two, just bemoaning the lack of complete games.
right. Well, there's a song in the closer, though. Isn't that about, what is that about, relief pitchers?
That's about relief pitchers, right. So I have appreciation for them as well.
Oh, okay.
And that's the appreciation in general, the art form. That's one of the toughest things to do. I mean, coming in the ninth inning of a game with everything on the line, and that's why all the badass guys are, you know, your Goose Gossages, you know, they're...
Yeah, but see now, that's where I disagree with you, though. It's not as hard as it used to be, because they would bring in Goose Gossage with two guys, the bases loaded in the seventh or eighth inning.
And keep him in there.
He would get out of it and then pitch the rest of the game.
I know.
I mean, starting the ninth inning, you know, not that that's easy, but it's easier than, you know, the guys from the 70s and 60s then.
Right. Sparky Lyle throwing four.
Back in our day,
And I keep thinking, what happened? Did arms change? Did, you know, they're not capable anymore? Are they? Of course, they're multi-million dollar commodities, and managers and owners want to save them and not burn them out. But geez, you know.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous.
One nice thing's come out of this record is we've had a chance to meet people that we sing about, and there's a song in the record called "The Yankee Flipper," which is a song Scott wrote about Jack McDowell, written by Scott and based on a night where Scott McCoy and Mike Mills from REM and Dennis Steichen from the Smithereens all went out drinking with Jack McDowell when he was on the Yankees. And they went out and got hammered, and they, you know, got hammered beyond hammered. And a couple days later, you know, the 36 hours later, McDowell was pitching a Sunday afternoon game at Yankee Stadium and got shelled early and knocked out of the game. And as he came out the field and the fans were booing, he gave the fans the finger, which was on page one of the Post the next day as Yankee Flipper. And, you know, and they had them give him the finger. So we wrote the song, you know, and Scott in that song says essentially that he would like to take some of the credit for McDowell's meltdown. he's like, I like to think that we had something to do with him doing that. Well, I was playing at the Javits Center last week for Fan Fest for the All-Star game.
You did the Baseball Project?
You make a record like this, and you get to play things you never thought you'd play. So I was playing at the for MLB.com on their, one of the broadcasts from Javits Center. And I looked down off the stage in the audience, and, you know, Linda's talking to some guy, yak, and I'm, okay, maybe some friend of hers, whatever. And I come off the stage after I play my song and say, you know, hey, I'm Steve. And he says, oh, hi, I'm Jack McDowell. And Jack McDowell turns out is a commentator for MLB.com. And he was there talking to Linda, and he had heard the song, loved the song. Jack McDowell was an indie rocker.
Right. He had a band. What the hell was the name of
Stick Figure.
Oh, okay.
He had another one, too, I think. But Stick Figure made a bunch of records, and he, you know, toured. He was had been to some of my shows, had seen Linda play over the years, was a big Replacements fan, a big, you know, REM fan. And so he heard the song, and he gave it his
Approval.
That was a good thing.
Maybe he can actually get some players in on the next album.
Now that'd be great. That'd be really good.
You know, you can get Bernie Williams to play some smooth jazz guitar.
That's right. Very tasty.
And I don't know who else.
Bernie's actually. It's I'm not if I'm not mistaken, and someone maybe can let me know, but I think that I think that Bernie Williams' next record is coming out on Rock Ridge, the label I'm on for Crossing Dragon Bridge.
It's all coming together.
It's all coming together. So I might be, if I'm not, I might be label mates with Bernie Williams.
There
it's
you
expected
go.
Tour coming up.
Now,
and I was saying, first of all, I've seen him on TV. He's a very good guitarist, and beyond that, a much better guitarist than I am a center fielder. So I guarantee that.
Yeah, he's.
But anybody is.
Right. You want to let's play another one from the album. How about?
That'd be great.
What's any choice?
Why don't we play a track 3? And that's called Gratitude, and it's a song that I wrote about Curt Flood, the outfielder for the St. Louis Cardinals in the '60s.
Right,
who
right.
Challenged the reserve clause.
That's right. That's
before
right.
Before he was in a team, would sign a player
right.
and own that player forever.
Right.
And the only way you could get out of your contract was either to be traded or to quit. And Curt Flood likened that to slavery, and for that ended his career. That he fought that rule,
right.
that law, the reserve clause, and essentially destroyed his career. But because of that, you know, A-Rod could make $25 million a year.
Right, and you know, it's funny. Most of these players we talked about, you know, it's like, oh, these are from like our era of like growing up or being fans. But this one, you do mention a lot of current players.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In this one, not in a positive, I guess. Like,
well, you know, the song is, you'll hear the song is Curt Flood's. He had unfortunately died a couple of years ago, when I read the obituary, it mentioned that no living ballplayers, no current ballplayers, went to his funeral, which I thought was kind of sad, considering that they are all making money.
Because
really
of him.
Directly from what he did. Now,
yeah.
It might have happened anyway, but he was the one who fought
well,
that law.
It's hard to say. Maybe no one would have fought, or maybe it would have started, you know, 10 years later, so it wouldn't have escalated this much. I don't know.
Right. Or they would have found some way to get around it then, or some way to temper that. But he fought at the right time, and it cost him. But so in the song, he's sort of looking from beyond the grave, and not very thrilled with the fact that all these players are making the money for what he did and not acknowledging him at all.
All right, so here's the Baseball Project, WFMU.